Hey friends, I'm Scott Hanselman. This is Azure Friday. I'm here with Anton, who's going to talk to me about some of the new stuff going on in Azure API management. You got a new UI in the portal, some new features, and you brought me a demo.
Right. So over the past year, we have been developing an entirely new UI inside the Azure portal. Mm-hmm. So up until now, actually, most of the configuration of APIs had to be done inside an external portal we called the Publisher Portal, which is still there. But we developed that completely, and over the past few weeks, we have been slowly releasing that in general availability as well. So that's actually what I want to show you today. So here I am in an API management service that I have opened. Mm-hmm. And just a quick overview of what we have this brand new API management section where I can perform all the regular operations, for example, configuring APIs and policies, products, name values, which is really the new name for properties, mm-hmm. so our key value store. We have users and groups. By the way, groups is listed in preview only because we are still missing the AAD functionality. That's coming very soon.
Okay.
And analytics is also something that we are still working on. We have notifications, notification recipients, basically, and notification templates. And then further down, we have the full security configuration, so security of the developer portal, like identity providers and delegation, security of the APIs, like OpenID Connect or Auth or certificates, mm-hmm. and also the two ways to programmatically control API management, so the management API and the Git repository for the configuration as well. Then, of course, we have our regular settings, nothing new here. What is interesting, we also have Azure Monitor support. So mm-hmm. now we emit a number of metrics into Azure Monitor where I can set alerts. You can generally use the infrastructure that's available there. This is in addition to our analytics, which are not going away. Mm-hmm. So, but probably the most interesting from the UI is our new APIs and policies configuration experience. We've completely redesigned that. And so starting off, we've made it much easier to get started, not just by importing OpenAPI or WSDL files, you know, SOAP APIs, but also importing Azure resources, for example, Logic Apps, API Apps, or Function Apps.
What is the, forgive my ignorance, but open API specification, how does that relate to something like Swagger?
Well, it is the new Swagger.
It is the new Swagger.
It is Swagger nowadays. And we're actually actively working on Swagger itself. One of our team members, Daryl Miller, is an active participant in the new Swagger specification. So we're quite heavily invested in that.
That's great.
So what I'm going to do, though, I'm going to show you the design first experience. I'm going to create a blank API here. And I'm going to do this very quickly. I'm just going to call TGIF. I'm not going to set a backend on purpose because I want to show you a trick later on. I'm going to add it to a product. And so as I create this API, here it appears in the list of APIs. And before I show you the rest, I'm just going to add an operation because obviously I still don't have any. So here we have the visual operation editor. I'm very quickly going to do this. We can
plan. It was a much nicer UI than before. With all due respect to the previous UI, it's just easier to visualize.
Yeah. We've really tried. We have done usability studies, and we have really tried to design something that users will not get lost in and will find their way quickly through and mm-hmm. to accomplish their task. So here, of course, I can do the regular things, like set query parameters, headers, request parameters, request samples, but also response samples. And I'm going to create one because this is going to play later on into what I'm going to show you. So I'm going to say this API can return 200 OK and can return an application JSON. Response. So I'm just going to type in just some sample data, mm-hmm. mainly so we know.
How is that sample data used?
Well, it is going to be provided as documentation on the developer portal. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, we have a new feature called mocking, where our API management can return a response even if your backend isn't available or isn't there yet. And in this case, as you saw, I defined the API without a backend. So if I call this API right now, it'll just give me an error. But with mocking, I'll be able to make it return a response so I can start my testing earlier before the backend is ready.
Very cool.
So let me save this. So what you see in this part of the screen now when I open this operation is that we now draw a diagram of the API pipeline. So here I see the front end I just defined, and I see that it goes to a section called inbound processing. So these are the policies that modify the request. Then it goes to a section called backend, where of course I don't have a backend set, but I can set further policies to change the backend. And then I have the outbound processing section, the policies that modify the response that's coming from the backend before it is sent back to the client.
And we've seen in previous episodes of Azure Friday that people can go explore, that you can do all kinds of things. You can add additional information. You can change JSON into XML. You can really do amazing stuff with API management.
Right. So we have our full policy editor available here. In fact, for each one of these sections, besides the regular visual editor, we have also a cult editor. So in fact, before I show you policies, I just want to do a quick look here at the cult editor for the API definition. Mm-hmm. So we have a full-on Swagger editor built in, of course. It has validation. It gives me an error because I don't have a host. I didn't set it on purpose.
Right, there's no backend.
Right. But if I were to type in something here, I get real-time validation, and I get another way to edit my API.
That's nice. I know a lot of us have struggled writing those manually.
Right. So I'm going to go back here. And by the way, the same is true for all of these sections. We do have a cult editor. So for policies, this is our old cult editor in its full XML glory. We have made finding the policies a lot easier because we now have over 30 policies. So we've organized them in categories. But what I want to show you is the new visual policy editor. So we are still adding policies to it, but we've made it very easy to rewrite the URL or set additional query parameters, headers, the body. And also, this is where I would enable mocking. So here I have mocking, so I can switch it on, simply clicking on static responses. And I can select what I want to return. So I could make the API return any valid response, HTTP response, or one of the samples I have defined. So I say save this. I will get a warning here, mocking is enabled, just so I know that I'm not getting called to the backend. And I can switch to our new test app. So previously, users had to go to the developer portal to test the API and see how it works. Now we have built this into the administrative interface so that it's much quicker. So if I click send here, so here it is. I got a 200 OK, even though there's no backend, and I get that sample that I had defined.
What would mocking do if there wasn't a sample?
So it will do a cascade of steps, basically, trying to produce a response. If there's a schema but no sample, it will generate a sample based on the schema.
Wow, yep. Now you're just showing off. That's cool.
And if there's none that either, then it will simply return an empty body.
That's cool.
Yeah.
This would be really great if you think about people who are going to put together an application and they're trying mm-hmm. to move as agilely and fast as they can. They have a mobile mm-hmm. app. They haven't got the back end done yet. They could hook things up and get them almost hooked up.
Right. The idea is that you don't want to block your front end development, that mobile app, if you don't have the back end yet, but if you know exactly what your API is going to return. You can make the API return anything. And in fact, mocking is a policy. So if I were to go back here into the code editor, mm-hmm. in fact, here in the preview, we already see that the policy
is
here.
There's the mock right there.
Right? But if I go into the code editor, I will see that it's just a policy. I can place it anywhere I want. I could do a conditional statement and maybe return a different response based on a different parameter. So I can really do some more powerful stuff.
Oh, I see. So you could mock based on a header that was coming in or
whatever
you want.
Exactly.
That's really interesting because a lot of times when we make mobile applications, we do our mocking in the client, which is fun and fast, mm-hmm. but it also forgets about things like latency and calling out to real backends and real HTTP and networks being slow. It's much better to have that mocking happen on the backend. It gives you a much more real experience.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is also that if you are doing an API design first scenario, you've probably first designed your API. You've defined it to some extent and you know what you want it to return. And especially if you have built already an open API specification document, you can simply import that may already have the samples in it. You just click mocking to make it enabled, and the API works. Mm-hmm. So.
And you said that those samples that you put in the mocking also can appear in the Swagger automatically generated documentation. So there's value in putting that work into designing a sample.
Right. So all of the developer portal documentation is generated based on the definition of the API. If I were to switch to it right now, if we have time, I can very quickly show you. This mm-hmm. is just our sample portal, which of course.
This always blows me away that this is made for people. This is the thing when people don't know that API management exists, that you're making APIs and not getting a free portal for your API, it just makes me sad. People need to know about this. This is great.
I think I have played with the styling previously, so I've made everything white. So in fact, this fair. Yeah. So yeah. I'm
fix
not going
to fix your CSS.
Yeah, I'm not going to mess with it.
But you even get to try it, so you can have you have your built-in subscription key. There's your mock right there, and people get to go and play with it. Such a valuable thing for anyone who's putting together a public API.
Right. So everything is generated automatically. It makes it very easy.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right, and this is available now?
This is available now. As I mentioned, we are still working on the analytics subsection. Mm-hmm. So that is going to come in the next couple months.
Okay.
And the groups section, which is actually fully functional except for its active Azure Active Directory capability, that's probably going to be finished in a month or so.
And then how long do we expect the old publisher portal to be available?
So we're going to keep it for the next couple of months as well, simply because people are obviously taking time to get used to the new interface, and we don't want to upset anybody's workflow. Certainly a couple of months, we will place a warning on the portal saying when we plan to actually deprecate it, and people will have enough time to get adjusted if they have basically not started using the new interface.
All right, fantastic. I am learning all about the new UI for Azure API Management and some of the new features like API mocking here on Azure Friday.